You know and love the Scrubble Stars at the Town Center, Fleming Island, and Atlantic Beach. Now get ready for 4 new locations scrubbing soon this year, featuring Kernan, San Jose, Racetrack Road, and Oakleaf. Scrubbles, trust the bow tie. You'll know quality once you arrive.
You got to bring a lot of energy with this coaching staff. But it was good. You know, the beginning kind of wore on us, but I feel like a lot of guys caught their second win, and you know what to expect. So it was a good first day for us.
DJ's great. There's zero resistance. You know, that's something that can make him better. And he's worked hard at it. He looks great. Body looks great. His strength has really improved.
I worked on speed a lot. I feel the speed when I'm coming off the ball. That's something that Coach Sanjay, Coach Meyer really buckled down on. But I feel it coming off the ball, getting in and out of breaks, moving people around. You know, it's something good to add to my game as well as being shifty.
I love Shaq Griffin. His energy for practice. I just think there's takers and there's givers. You know, takers are people that you have to constantly motivate. I've said that for years. Great players you have to prepare. Average players you have to motivate all the time.
This is going to be hard. This is going to be tough. There's going to be days where like, man, how are we going to get through it? Lean on someone. This is a brotherhood. Lean on us. If you're going through something, talk to me. If I'm going through something, I'm going to come to holler at you. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to try to get whatever it is on my chest, try to get it off. We need everybody.
Shaq, he loves the game. He loves the practice.
We're still just kind of filling things out, but I know one thing I had to say, we are really competitive. You know, that's one thing I can see out of this group of guys. You know, that's me being where I was before. It was competitive there. I played on some top five defenses, and it feels, you know, similar.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, I've lost count. I don't know what day it is of training camp. Day 6, maybe on the field, Tony? Could be. It's possible. I'm not sure.
I think it is.
Yeah, something like that. Does it really matter? Day 6, and then they're playing a game in a week and a half, right?
Yeah.
You get the Hall of Fame game tomorrow.
You do?
It's tomorrow, ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen. The
preseason football is back. I know you've been holding your breath for 2 years.
Baby. Oh, what gets better than that, man? You know what? It's kind of nice last year from this standpoint. You don't have to worry about any of your fantasy guys getting hurt.
No, yeah.
You know, now you just you go through that cycle, at least I do. I don't know. Maybe it's not the same for you, but when on Twitter I see something trending. Like yesterday, Kyle Pitts was trending because he made
a
it was a nice catch. He didn't catch it the first time, right? He kind of got his hands on it, and he caught it as he was falling to the ground, and so he's trending because of, his first touchdown in training camp for the Atlanta Falcons. At least that's how some people were describing it. All I'm thinking is, man, high ankle sprain. Let mm-hmm. that be the worst of it, please. You know, but we escaped there. All right, so Jags on the practice field again today. Looks like a little inclement weather out there, so we'll see how they handle things and if it impacts them. But we'll have a pair of on-the-scene training camp reports this morning. John Shipley from Jaguar Report of the SI family. That would be Sports Illustrated to you. Will join us coming up here in about 17 minutes. That's very precise. And after that, the Hammer, Hayes Carlion, will join us yesterday. And, Tony, I'm sure you noticed as well, Hayes saying, in his opinion, not a great day. First day in full pads for one Cam Robinson yesterday.
Yeah.
Felt like Walker Little outplayed him, at least in the one-on-one. So that should be interesting to get into.
No doubt, as, again, they're going into day two in pads. And for the second day in a row, we're not getting the heat. We get all the heat when the guys are just in helmets for the first week. And the guys get into pads, and we're not getting that blazing sun here through the first couple of days. I'm sure it'll be here. By the time we get into the weekend, I'm sure we'll have some hot days for these guys out in the pads. But yeah, it certainly sounds like, based on the reports, and we'll ask John Shipley and Hayes about this, but that Cam Robinson didn't have a very good day, day one in pads, and Walker Little was at least better than Cam Robinson yesterday, and that's something we've been talking about. We're going to have our eyes on when these pads come on. It's such a big year for Cam Robinson. Playing on the franchise tag this year, Walker Little drafted in the second round. What the heck does it look like for him? There's a lot to like about what you heard. You know, the brief little tidbits or whatever that came out of camp yesterday. There's a lot to like about what you heard about Walker Little. So we'll see what day two looks like for those guys.
You know what will happen, of course, Walker Little does ascend to the starting left tackle job, even if it's not on opening day. If it's mm-hmm. sometime during the season, what will be the narrative? It won't be, well, inside the 904, it'll be the legend of Walker Little continues,
yeah.
Right? But outside the 904 area, it will not be Jaguars find a second-round gem. Amazing prescience to go out there and select a guy who basically hasn't played football in 2 years. Look at this great scouting job that they have done to identify an up-and-comer. It'll be, so why do these idiots franchise tag Cam Robinson?
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's what it's going to be. You know it's coming. What a terrible move, a suspect move. By the way, what is the downside? Other than to Shad Khan's personal finances, is there any downside to franchise tagging Cam Robinson? You get the salary cap space back next year, right? I mean, his salary rolls off the books, frees up that roughly $13 million in space. You're sitting there with the most salary cap space currently in the league, so it didn't prevent you from going after any particular player. And it gave you the insurance that we didn't have to go out there and force a pick where we didn't feel like it was the value. And then Walker Little was a guy that they liked, and they took him, and so far the returns have been good. And look, for all we know, Cam Robinson will win this job and hold down the starting job the entire season. I'm just trying to get out ahead of the curve on the latest angle that people will take to try to throw stones at the way the 2021 offseason has gone for the Jaguars.
Oh, for sure. It's coming. If that's the way that it plays out, that's definitely going to be there. I mean, it's already there. You know, when they made the decision to franchise tag Cam Robinson, it was just article after article of, I don't know why they're doing this. They can't find a better way to use this money. On who? We talked about it going into the – on who?
Was Trent Williams going to take that?
Right. No.
Right.
He wound up back in San Francisco and seemed very happy to be the highest paid left tackle in football in San Francisco.
So like, you would have had to set the market like way above and beyond. He still might not have taken it.
Might not have taken it. So if you can't get Trent Williams, show me the impact signing a left tackle for anybody else this year. Could they have traded for Orlando
Brown Jr.?
Maybe.
But he's never played left tackle in the NFL.
No, and we'll see how that works out for Kansas City.
He did for part of a season last year.
We'll see how it works out for Kansas City, and that's been a big discussion. Like, if you watched any of the coverage this weekend, for instance, when the NFL Network and ESPN were at all 32 camps this weekend and going around live whenever they happen to be on the field, the entire discussion basically in Kansas City was the reworked offensive line. And it makes sense based on what we saw in the Super Bowl. Yeah, it makes sense that the discussion would be about that. And we're also at the point in the year where when a team is good, like Kansas City, everything that they touch turns to gold. Right now, at least, Jacksonville hasn't earned any of that cred. So, no, when they talk about Jacksonville and the decision to franchise tag Cam Robinson, it's already been tilted the way that we're discussing about here in the why would they choose to do that with that player? Well, what was the other option?
Think of it this way. If he does, he being Walker Little, turns out to be, let's say, a starting left tackle for three of the first 4 years of his rookie deal, right? Let's say Cam holds down that spot this year. Maybe he's a league average left tackle, whatever the case, and they just, you know, Walker Little, they bring him along. For whatever reason, he doesn't start this year, okay? But you get a starter, which who at this point doesn't think he'll be the opening day starter in 2022, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, so if you get a starter for 3 years on a rookie deal in the middle of the second round, and that money, that salary cap space bounces back to you next year and the cap continues to rise, if you make yourself an attractive team with Trevor Lawrence at the helm of the offense and Urban Meyer at the helm of the team overall – and maybe become, you know, at least a fighting destination. Like, you know, they've always signed guys, even when they've been bad. Money talks, but can you get the guy that has a lot of options, right? And when it's competitive, can you break through and become the team that is a destination that people absolutely want to go to and would choose over other maybe contenders out there or teams on the rise? Then you've got something going, but they're going to have all this cap space. And again, Shad Khan's got to pay Cam Robinson, $13 million, roughly, whatever the exact number is. Okay.
Yeah.
Shad Khan just spilled that into the ocean off the deck of his yacht. I mean, you know what? I think he'll survive that.
And along those lines, they found a way to do it for one free agency class, right? Like, they found a way to do it when Calais Campbell and A.J. Bouye were being talked about as two of the five best free agents in football.
Yeah.
That year, they were able to land both of those guys in the same year, and it paid massive dividends immediately for the franchise. Can they get back to that kind of place? success on the field, and if the quarterback is what we think the quarterback is, will certainly help in that department.
Well, again, today is not going to all be about the Cam Robinson-Walker Little battle, if there is a battle developing there, but we will discuss that, among other things, today. And just, you know, I just know where this is headed, and I'm trying to head it off at the pass a little bit here. Again, don't know who's going to be the opening day left tackle here. Cam Robinson's been working with the ones all training camp, as you would expect, as the incumbent on the franchise tag. One day of practice, look, Trevor Lawrence threw a few interceptions the other day. Hadn't swayed me from thinking he's going to be the opening day quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So let's see how it all plays out. The question of the day today is going down a different road, however, and we're talking about under-the-radar players. You need you to pick one, or we'd like you to pick one. The question asks you, it's not in the form of a question, but name an under-the-radar player that you think will end up with a big role for the Jaguars this year, okay? And I've got a reason for putting that forth, but I don't want to put it out there yet because I don't want to skew people's thinking on this. So we'll get a bunch of responses in on that. We'll look at those later. We'll go around the table and give you our thoughts on that as well, and we'll ask that question of John Shipley of Jaguar Report, who's coming up next. Hayes Carline, the Hammer, will join us after that. We'll hear from Daryl Bevel today. Hayes caught up with him one-on-one. We'll also hear interspersed some of his press conference comments yesterday. Marvin Jones Jr., Damian Wilson also stepping up to the microphone. So we'll hear from a bevy of Jaguars primarily in hour number two. All right, training camp continues apace. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, E.T. Good morning, E.T.
Yo, what's happening?
How are you?
You see it, man. What it is, Wednesday.
We were for whatever reason, talking about cartoons before we came on the air, and I asked E.T. if he would challenge Speedy Gonzalez to a foot race. E.T.'s response was, he don't want that smoke.
He don't want it.
He do not want that smoke. So, Speedy, you stay in your
pump your brakes, buddy.
All right, and E.T. has got the non-animated field covered. All right, today, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do that. That's where you'll answer the question of the day, primarily, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at IME. To the T.
Come on, somebody.
641-1010 if you want to get in, although primarily use that for the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures because we're pretty full up once again today. By the way, programming note, Tommy Mack will not be in on Friday. He will be in on Thursday.
Nice.
However, he's not coming out to practice on Friday, but he's going to be in studio with us tomorrow, and then we will be out on the practice field and next to the practice field adjacent on Friday. Hoping to see a bunch of you out there as well as the Jags open things back up to the fan base. All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, E.T., we are off and rolling. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
He's a mature guy. You know, he's been kind of the face of college football for a long time, so I don't think this is really too big for him. He's had some of those veteran guys, you know, and worked out with him in the offseason. So he's doing a great job communicating with those guys.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, that was Daryl Bevel talking about Trevor Lawrence's chemistry with his wide receivers. That is part of the Hayes Carline one-on-one interview that we'll play later on in hour number two. Hayes Carline with Daryl Bevel. But we'll hear more from the Jaguars offensive coordinator interspersed throughout the program today, as right now we go out to the site of Jaguar practice down at the Dreamfinders Homes practice facility, and we've got John Shipley of Jaguar Report on the scene for us. John, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. What's the weather looking like out there today?
Overcast, and thankfully not excruciatingly hot like it has been 95% of the time.
Oh, good. So, like, no imminent threat of rain.
No, not at all. It's honestly perfectly cloudy, overcast. It's honestly wonderful out here, which you could not say for, like, the first week.
Beautiful. All right. Well, first time we've had you on since the training camp has officially kicked off, and so let's just start with the obvious. What is your impression after 1 week of Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, really my impression is, you know, even when Trevor, you know, has his down days, which he's going to have as a rookie, I still think he, you know, has throws and practices that isn't like anything, you know, I've seen here in my 3 years on the beat. You know, obviously you want to see when the live bullets come, you know, him against an actual defense, whether in the preseason or regular season. But to me, he's been everything like he was biled coming out of Clemson and more. I've been impressed with his touch, his accuracy, his toughness, and really his eagerness to throw the ball down. You know, you can notice a palpable change between him and the other quarterbacks, just in the fact that he actually tested the defense downfield instead of taking, you know, the underneath stuff.
Including Trevor Lawrence in this, what were your big takeaways from day one in pads yesterday from the team?
No, really, one of my big takeaways was that the run defense is, in my opinion, they're going to do a 180. I think they've added enough, you know, depth and really versatility and size and strength to that line that, you know, it could be up in the air in terms of their ability to get after the quarterback. But I really think after seeing them yesterday, you know, defend the run, stack up against the offensive line and fullbacks, I think it's going to be a run defense that's going to be dramatically different.
I hope you're right. It's John, I find it's difficult sometimes to know when these guys are excelling or are they excelling because they're going up against guys opposite them that aren't great. You know what I mean? We've tricked ourselves in the past into getting excited about certain aspects of Jaguar football. How do you discern one from the other when it's just really good or it's good because the competition is not top-notch?
Yeah, no, I really think you have to, you know, the old adage is iron sharpens iron. I think, you know, the best reps that you can learn from is when you see really, you know, the best against the best, you know, the starters against the starters. Like just in terms of, you know, the run defense I was referencing, yesterday I saw Caleb on Chase on, Miles Jack, and Roy Robinson-Harris all make, you know, either tackles for loss or tackles right at the line of scrimmage, you know, in the run fit drill. And that was against the starting offensive line. You know, that was against, you know, James Robinson running the ball. So I think when you see reps like that, when you see DJ Chark against Shaquille Griffin, when you see guys who are of, you know, similar experience and skill level, I think those are the reps that you really hone in on.
What were your impressions of Walker Little seeing him in pads for the first time?
I think he's a guy who it's going to be hard for me to picture him being on the bench all season long. I really don't. I don't think the Jaguars picked him with the 45th pick to have him not play football for a third season in a row. You know what I mean? He just looks like a natural. He really does. I mean, considering yesterday was his first day in pads, you know, he is smooth in his pass drops. His strength and his flexibility is just evident, you know, right off the jump. And, you know, he just looks like a guy who he's ready to see the field sooner and later. You know, Daryl Bevel said yesterday he wants to get his best five on the field in terms of the offensive linemen. And as of right now, it's hard for me to not think, you know, at this early part that Walker Little might very well be one of them. So I think Little's a guy who, just with his play and his practice and his, you know, kind of toughness, I think he's going to find the field sooner and later.
Cam Robinson has been running with the ones, as you would expect, throughout training camp up to this point. And Hayes Carline, you know, obviously we're on the air. We couldn't be out there. But he said yesterday on the Frangie show that he thought Walker Little outplayed him in one-on-one pass blocking drills. Just what have your observations been of how Cam Robinson has played? Is he not living up to the hype, or is it just that Walker Little is coming in and impressed that much?
I do think there, you know, has to be a little bit more time before, you know, you can really discern between the two. I think Little had a better first day of pads, but I think, you know, as they continue to stack up days, then you can see if a pattern really emerges. I don't think Robinson is somebody who, you know, has really had a down camp. You know, the day before pads, obviously they weren't, you know, 100% full speed, but they were still doing one-on-ones between the lines, and Robinson, you know, handled Chase on cleanly. You know, so there are just some days, you know, where the defense really wins, and that seems like that was yesterday's day for Robinson. So I haven't gotten the impression that he's had a down camp or that the Jaguars are unsatisfied with what they've seen from him. I actually thought yesterday during team drills that, you know, he did an exceptional job as a run blocker in 11-on-11. It's just I really do think with Little, you know, performing the way he has, that, you know, really for the first time in Robinson, maybe his tenure as a Jaguar, the leash might be kind of short.
I know we talked a lot about practice on Monday with Caleb on Chase on going up against those two guys that we've been discussing, Cam Robinson and Walker Little, in one-on-ones. How did Caleb on look out there on the first day in pads?
I really think, you know, people harped on, you know, some of the social media tweets of, you know, Caleb on losing one-on-one reps to Robinson and Little in the last few days. But he's won, at least in my opinion, you know, his fair share of reps as well. You know, he has shown a serious first step and ability to bend under a pad that his issue, and we saw it last year, was once he gets locked up with offensive linemen, he doesn't have the length or the strength to really disengage. But if he can beat them off the ball and kind of get under their pads and dip under them, he's a serious problem. And they've had issues with both his and Josh Allen's speed off the edge, you know, when they go to team drills. So both Chase on and Allen would have had sacks yesterday in 11-on-11 if it was an actual game.
Talking with John Shipley of Jaguar Report here on 1010XL. John, both the top two running backs have been getting praise from various corners, James Robinson, Travis Etienne. What have you seen from the two? And are you trying to get to a point where you're able to discern what you think the roles are going to end up being for these two guys?
Yeah, no, from ETN, you know, the Jaguars, they haven't shied away from giving him a lot on his plate in terms of passing targets. It seems like he's been a guy that they have loved throwing the ball to, you know, whether in 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 drills. It seems like he's going to be a focal point of their passing game. And to this point, he's impressed. I mean, you know, he has shown good hands, good tracking ability, great speed after the catch. You know, I know, you know, a lot wondered how he would handle those increased passing responsibilities just because his routes and his role at Clemson was so simplistic. But at least in my eyes, he has excelled in that role. And then Robinson, you know, Robinson's broken off several big runs, you know, throughout camp. But yesterday, I thought really, you know, showed an improved speed and burst from him. And, you know, that vision's always going to be there. You know, it's just clear that he has the best natural feel for, you know, how the holes open up among the running backs. So I still get the feeling that, you know, how they deploy the running backs are going to be kind of matchup dependent on who they face that week and how the game script is going. But I feel as if Robinson will lead the team in carries, but it wouldn't surprise me if ETN has more touches than him, just because, you know, you could see him get, you know, maybe a slightly smaller amount of carries, but I think he'll get a lot more reception.
How would you describe DJ Chark's camp thus far?
I know a lot of people, you know, on Twitter at least have tweeted to me that they've been under the impression that he's had a quiet camp. I think that's more so because we've seen Chenault and Marvin Jones on the receiving end of so many of these big plays. And Chark, I thought, had his best day of camp yesterday. You know, he's had a solid camp overall. But yesterday, he was really, a tough, tough cover in one-on-ones. You know, DJ Daniel, Shaquille Griffin, Daniel Thomas, all had problems with him. And then in team drills, he made several nice grabs, including, you know, his best play of the entire camp was, you know, he ran a route toward the middle of the field in between two defenders, and Lawrence threw a rocket to him, and he had to dive a little bit to make sure he could bring in the ball. And he just made an incredibly athletic adjustment on the catch and corralled it in. So I think Sharks had a solid camp. I really do. It's just when you have three receivers who are going to come down with big plays, people are going to wonder why one guy is not getting more of them.
Look, we know DJ's going to be a big part of the passing game, but it's good to hear him start to make some, you know, eye-catching plays because we've seen it from the other top two guys so far in camp. John, what about Colin Johnson? That is a guy I have not heard very much of. I've been out to three practices myself and really haven't noticed him all that much.
Yeah, no, he's had a quiet camp as well. You know, a few days ago, he caught a nice deep ball from Lawrence at the end of practice. And then yesterday, I thought, it funny enough, one of the best throws, in my opinion, that I've seen at training camp this year came from Jake Luton to Colin Johnson yesterday toward the end of practice. It was, you know, he ran a terrific route to beat DJ Daniel down the right part of the sideline and then, you know, brought in the pass before the safety could close in. I think that he has shown, a good amount of speed. His size is still evident. It's just, I think he's down far enough on the pecking order. I haven't seen anything to make me think he's above a healthy Philip Dorsett on the depth chart, that I'm just not sure he's going to get the kind of reps to really be able to impress, if that makes sense.
Is C.J. Henderson working to the side again today? And how big of a deal is it that he hasn't been available through the first week of camp here?
Yeah, no, he is on the practice field today. No shoulder pad or helmets, but he was on the workout bike kind of conditioning while the team was stretching at the start of practice. And then yesterday he was in Tim Walton's, the cornerback coach, his hip pocket all day long. You know, the two of them were constantly communicating. It's clear that he has a lot to catch up on. Charlie Strong even said so himself. But at least the recent indications are that he'll be back on the field sooner and later. You know, normally when the Jaguars have a guy on the COVID list who's out here kind of conditioning and, you know, really getting reacclimated, that means they're going to come off the list sooner and later, and they really just have to condition and get back into football shape. So I would think he comes off it sooner and later. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, the number two cornerback spot is the biggest question mark in training camp, because Henderson was a guy who really everybody on the outside, including myself, you know, the rational thinking was as long as he's on the field, that's the role that he has. Well, he hasn't been on the field. So right now they have to sort it out. Do you want Sidney Jones out there? Do you want to try Tyson Campbell out there and put Trey Herndon inside? Do you want to keep Tyson Campbell inside? Do you want to give Henderson, you know, another chance to earn the job after missing, you know, the first week or so of practice? So there's a lot of moving pieces that his absence has created.
All right, John, one more for you here. Our question of the day, we ask you to name an under-the-radar player that doesn't have to have the biggest role, but will have a bigger role, you think, than previously believed, like based on your observation over the offseason and the first week of camp. Who's a guy that isn't getting talked much about that you think will end up being a key contributor?
I think Damian Wilson. I really do. The Jaguars, you know, they seem to love what he brings to the table in terms of toughness and leadership and really being a downhill linebacker. I mean, when you look at their three veteran linebackers between him, Schobert, and Jack, he's the only one who you could really describe as kind of a downhill, you know, physical thumper. And I think in their defensive scheme, they want that kind of presence. Charlie Strong said he's been playing all three different linebacker positions. So I think he's going to be a guy that you see on the field more one way or another this year than maybe people thought.
Yeah, bro, I meant to say don't take my guy, and you just took my guy. All right, because, I mean, John, they don't put a guy out there for a post-practice press conference unless they anticipate him having a significant role, right? I mean, they're putting out one guy on offense, one guy on defense, and a coach basically every day. And Damian Wilson got one of those spotlights yesterday. That signified to me that they really have a role for him this year.
Yeah, it does. And if you read the tea leaves, the Jaguars, they really weren't shy this offseason about talking about it. I mean, in June, Urban Meyer had a quote saying he had three different linebackers that he kind of wanted to rotate, and Wilson was one of them. So I really think you're going to see Wilson on the field a lot more than people anticipated. And I think a big reason is just because he brings such a different style of play from Jack and Schobert, and a style of play that, you know, they really lacked on the roster really since Posluszny retired.
All right, John Shipley, go hop on Twitter and follow him if you don't already, people. Come on, get this man up into the five figures at least by the start of the season. _John_Shipley. That's where you'll find him on Twitter, of course, with Jaguar Report, part of the Sports Illustrated family, and a frequent correspondent here on this very program, Jaguars Today. John, enjoy the conversation this morning. Get back after it, man. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it, as always, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your week.
All right, same to you, buddy. Yeah, we'll see you out there on Friday, by the way. John Shipley of SI's Jaguar Report, @John_Shipley, because they were giving him out for free that day, Tony. There's no extra charge for the underscores. That is my guy, though. Damian, like that mm-hmm. I saw that. I'm like, I'm going to make that the question of the day tomorrow. And, obviously, they have plans for this guy, and to hear that he's playing – you know, different spots inside and outside and what that could mean for this football team. It's not like, by the way, they didn't put Schobert out there this weekend, which they did as well. So, sure. Yeah. You know, because we had heard Tony Boselli and Jeff Logman question whether he's really the right size for an every down inside linebacker role in a 3-4 defense. And Damian Wilson seems to fit that mold. So it should be interesting how they deploy the guys. We'll follow up on that with Hayes Carline. Coming up next, the Hammer. More on the Walker-Little-Cam Robinson battle, or Cam Robinson-Walker-Little battle, however you want to phrase it. Not trying to put one ahead of the other right now. Just want them, whoever it turns out to be, to play very well for the Jaguars. So we'll talk to the Hammer next. Again, heading back live to Jaguar training camp. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You can't touch this.
I mean, we're competing out here every day, and we've told the guys we're putting the best five guys out there. So if Walker Little ends up being one of the best five, then we got to find a way to get him in there. If Ben Barge is one of those guys, we'll find a way to get him in there. And, I mean, that's the nature of this business. We got to have the best guys playing.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Got to have your best guys playing, Tony. That's why Hayes Carline is next up in the lineup, batting cleanup today. On the program, the Hammer joins us live from Jaguar training camp. Good morning, Hayes.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you all doing today?
We're much better now that you're with us here, man. And that, of course, was Darrell Bevell, and we're going to play your one-on-one interview. Excellent interview. Listen to that.
Oh, thanks.
That's coming up in hour number two. But that was speaking at his press conference yesterday when asked about Walker Little having a chance to win a starting job. You put out yesterday on the Frangie show, and I'm quoting from Twitter, "It was a tough first day in pads for Cam Robinson. Thought Walker Little looked like the better left tackle in one-on-one drills." Just tell us where you think this could be headed, how it's playing out. And, you know, you hear Darrell Bevell mention Ben Barch. Is he just picking out another random backup offensive lineman, or are there other battles brewing on the offensive line we haven't been paying enough attention to?
Yeah, great question. I think he just picked out Ben Barch. And again, Walker Little is still going to have to show it in 11-on-11 and things like that to unseat Cam Robinson. So the one-on-ones are certainly a part of the puzzle, but not everything. But yeah, I thought Walker Little looked better. He moves better, and I think he's more physical. It was one day in pads, so we'll have to see if that continues. But I didn't get any impression yesterday that Walker Little is going to wilt at all. with the pads going on. And so he's in a really exciting prospect for this team. And, you know, I think my guess is that it'd be tough to unseed Cam Robinson by week one, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up happening. And, you know, it's not so much that Cam Robinson didn't do well in one-on-ones yesterday, but it's not that Cam Robinson is a bad left tackle, but they may have a special one in Walker Little.
What is the biggest storyline, Hayes, that is not getting enough attention for the Jaguars currently in camp?
Well, there's a massive storyline that emerged about 20 minutes ago that I think is going to carry today's news, and that's C.J. Henderson. Urban Meyer, in my opinion, sending a direct message to C.J. Henderson today, who has not practiced. He's been on the COVID list, was back out yesterday for the first time just doing side work, but in relative anonymity. Well, today that ended. Urban Meyer put a bright spotlight on C.J. Henderson. I took a picture of it. You can see it on Twitter. C.J. Henderson on an exercise bike 20 feet in front of the team as they go through stretching and running drills, a clear spotlight on C.J. Henderson. And I think a direct message from Urban Meyer to, you know, hey, you need to get with your team. C.J. Henderson is now being taken through just individual conditioning with a strength trainer. And it's I've never seen this. Usually injured players are working off well to the side. They're not in real any sort of view. Not sure if, you know, C.J. Henderson is, he's in the dog. There's you wouldn't do this if he's not in the doghouse, but it'll be interesting to see the explanation on why later today after practice. But something that I've never seen before, and it really looked like Urban Meyer sending a direct message to C.J. Henderson: it's time for you to get back out on the field.
What is the reasoning that he's not, Hayes? Is it a matter of, all right, he was on the COVID list, so his conditioning's a little bit behind, and that's why he's on the exercise bike? I mean, what is the cover story here? Because I haven't heard anything about a specific injury, or am I missing something?
Yeah, I would think it's all COVID-related, but normally these guys, once they get off the list, are put back into action pretty quickly.
Right.
So I would imagine it's a conditioning issue that he maybe isn't where they wanted him to be. I will say it looks like he isn't as physically strong in his upper body is what I remember seeing, you know, last season. So I would imagine that's it, that they aren't probably thrilled with his conditioning. But again, this is me speculating. We have to get, official reason from Urban Meyer. But that would be my guess is that, I mean, they've got other guys that are hurt. None of them are on an exercise bike 20 feet in front of the team while they stretch. I mean, I've never seen it. We know Urban Meyer, what a motivator he is. And in this case, I think he's sending a clear message to C.J. Henderson and almost embarrassing him in front of the rest of the roster.
Hayes, you entitled your tweet, you said day seven underway, called Winners and Losers Day. Is this something that Urban Meyer has put out there? And if so, what is the explained meaning behind this?
Well, it's been fascinating because they've been doing new drills today. I would say the NFL version of Urban Meyer's Circle of Life in mm-hmm. Florida, not anybody going to the ground, but a clear pads are popping. You're trying to get past your guy. And they did this for a good 5 or 10 minutes. And so they were calling out the winner and loser. Urban Meyer's right-hand man, Fernando, with the over the PA system is calling out, you know, winner. And it was interesting to see who did well. Wingard did well. Jalen Camp did well. Schobert did well. Manhurts and Tebow went against each other four times and split 2-2. Dakota Allen did well. Cisco did well. Quarterman did well. Jason got Quarterman on the final. They went up against each other four times. And Quarterman, but you may be able to hear it now. I mean, you may be able to hear it over the PA. You know, winner, Jalen Jones, I think it was what Fernando just said. Winner Shaq. Yeah, so, I mean, they're going through it right now, and it's just every rep. There's a winner and a loser on every rep, and it's being announced over the PA. So it's clear that, you know, if you make mistakes today, you're going to know about it awfully quick. I mean, Urban Meyer is right there in the center of this thing calling a winner on all these reps.
Hayes, after
Tyson
not seeing
Campbell just got a win.
Yeah, after not seeing much of him on the field for OTAs, a little bit at the mandatory mini camp. What have been your impressions through the first week of camp for Andre Sisco?
I think just the fact that he's out there is a really good sign, and he's done some good things. So, you know, I think he's got a chance to continue to move up the depth chart as camp plays out. I think ideally he'd be the week one guy, but I think it's good just that, you know, we still have, you know, well over five weeks before the opener, and so that, you know, should give him time to continue to get better. And but I've liked what I've seen so far out of him.
You mentioned Tebow and Manhurt splitting a couple of reps going up head-to-head, which I think speaks very well for Tim Tebow here, right? I mean, this is a physical drill day, it sounds like, and that's something that should be up his alley, but we've heard about Manhurt's great reputation as a blocker. Just what have you been in your impressions of the tight end group as a whole so far?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Tebow's been by far the most productive pass catcher, although yesterday, the first day in pads, he was rather quiet. Again, O'Shaughnessy not being here is probably a big reason for that. And the four reps that he had against Manhurst were interesting because he got clearly beat on the first one. The second one, he got just tossed aside. And then the third and fourth, Tebow rebounded and won the rep. So I showed some good bounce back in that period. To get down 0-2 and then come back and get a 2-2 draw. So, I think there's certain things that he's continuing to battle through. You know, as Urban talked yesterday and then, you know, Daryl Bevel talked about, you know, there's things that, you know, because he's just never done it before, there's things that they're having to coach him out of. But, you know, he certainly fits in. It doesn't look like he doesn't. And he wasn't very active in the pass game yesterday, but none of the tight ends really were.
Hayes, what did you see from Trevor Lawrence in his first day in pads yesterday and going into today?
I thought he looked really good, but it was interesting because, you know, we can see it and think that, hey, he's having a really good day. He looks really good physically. But Bevel was clearly upset at the install yesterday. He said, you know, we had five good days, and then, you know, today on day six, all of a sudden we didn't get it as much as I would have liked us to have gotten it. And so, you know, you got to think that's on Trevor. When the offense isn't mastering the install, that's, you would think, going to fall on the quarterback. So, while it looked like, I thought, a good day, he had just an unbelievable throw to Marvin Jones in the seam. And he had some other really good moments, but didn't have the mistakes that he had the other day. But obviously there was some operational things that Bevel wasn't happy about. So I thought that was sort of interesting because it just shows you sometimes we see practice from one prism, but the coaches see it through another.
All right, Hayes, our question of the day today, and we'll ask you this and let you get back to it. We ask you to name an under-the-radar player that you think will end up with a big role for the Jaguars in 2021. Doesn't have to be the biggest role, but give me an example of an under-the-radar player that you think is going to emerge.
I'll give you one way off the radar. I now think Philip Dorsett makes the 53, and while I don't think he's going to catch a ton of passes, I think the ones he catches are going to be big splash plays. So I'll say Philip Dorsett has a sneaky, you know, maybe 400-yard season, but the 400-yard season comes off of a few catches, and the ones that he gets are certainly explosive big plays for the Jaguars.
All right, there you go. Philip Dorsett, was he working off to the side today? Did we hear that?
That's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to check on that. I don't see him. They didn't put him on a stationary bike in front of the entire
well,
team like they did CJ Henderson.
Yes, we appreciate that, making it very easy to determine whether or not CJ is participating yet. We hope he gets on the field quickly. Hayes, great stuff. Again, very nice interview with Daryl Bevel. We'll be playing that coming up in hour number two. Get back after it, man. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning.
Sure thing. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. You can find Hayes on Twitter at his name, Hayes Carlion. Tony, I've heard from multiple people this offseason that the Jags really like C.J. Henderson. I don't see the evidence of that. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't. Maybe they're just frustrated that he hasn't gotten back on the field yet. But, you know, we thought at the time, was that Tyson Campbell selection a bit of a luxury pick, right, considering all the things, considering they had signed Shaq Griffin, bring it back, Sidney Jones, you've got Trey Herney, you've got some young guys there, and Henderson's the ninth overall pick in the draft. I'm not saying you can have too many good corners. We know that. But there are a lot of different ways the Jags could have gone with that selection. That's the first pick of day two. You probably got some calls about, hey, are you willing to trade down?
Sure, yeah.
You know, you had all these guys that we had discussed for months and months and months on the radar, and that's the direction they chose to go. So, you know, their actions tell me that maybe they like C.J. Henderson, they like the talent, but I don't know if they feel like they can count on his availability right now, you know?
Well, he hasn't been out there for the first week, so you certainly can't feel good about it to start, you know, training camp as far as availability. And, you know, Hayes pointing out them putting him on an exercise bike on the sideline.
It's pretty striking,
yeah.
Right? When you, because they always, usually, they're like under the little shaded area or something, and there's usually a two or three guys that are.
And he's not the only one not working today.
Correct.
Right? Like, this is.
He's the one on the bike.
Yeah.
Right next to the field.
So it says something, you know, about how they feel about CJ, or maybe he asked, can I ride the bike right next to the goalpost? I don't know, you know, what the answer to that is, but it certainly says something that he is doing that today.
Wow. All right. So a lot to chew on there. We'll hear more from Hayes coming up next hour. As we mentioned, he went one-on-one with Daryl Bevel, the Jaguars offensive coordinator, after practice yesterday. Also coming up in the next hour, Marvin Jones Jr., some of his comments. He is a guy that's got a lot on his mind, and we always love hearing from him. And Damian Wilson as well, new member of the Jaguars, like Marvin Jones Jr., maybe one of those under-the-radar guys. For me, he is, that I think may end up having a bigger role than we suspected as this thing plays out.
John Shipley, by the way, tweeting out just here in the last couple minutes, James Robinson stacking up good days. Got a ton of separation against Miles Jack in one-on-one, then brings in a stellar grab on a vertical route against Schobert. As he said, he's good at football.
Hey, let me tell you what. I've seen him go deep a few times now. Well, I didn't see that one. But you know what I mean? Like, I've noted a few occasions where they've split him out in the formation and let him take on a linebacker, and that linebacker hasn't had a whole lot of a chance. And you don't think of James Rock, like, he's a good pass catcher, right? But you don't think of him, at least I don't, as the guy that you're going to split out from the formation and beat his guy and throw it over the top to him.
No, yeah.
Right? And, you know, he has come in looking quicker. He is – look, competition breeds, you know, a certain level in guys. You find out what guys are made of. James Robinson has answered the call. For every good report we get on ETN, we get a good one on James Robinson vice versa, and that is fantastic for the Jaguars. We want them both. It's not an either-or. It's not ETN has to be the main guy. It's not James Robinson has to be the main guy. This is – a two-headed monster with Carlos Hyde mopping up that, let's shove that narrative right down the throat of everybody that's been questioning that selection in the first round.
Yeah.
And, man, you know, easy to get enthusiastic. It is still early August, but I'd rather be enthusiastic than not. So kill me, sue me if you don't like it. All right, we'll come back with this date in football and also the gems from around the National Football League. And as we mentioned, Hayes Carline coming up one-on-one with Daryl Bevel, Marvin Jones Jr., Damian Wilson also, as they spoke after practice yesterday. A lot to do today. Question of the day out there asking you to name an under-the-radar player that you think will end up with a significant role for this team this year. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, August the 4th. We go back to 1986, and the United States Football League, the original USFL, called off the 1986 season on this date. This is on the heels of winning just minimal damages in an antitrust lawsuit against the National Football League. It was a dollar that was all ultimately tripled or trebled, I believe, as they say in legal parlance. But nevertheless, that happened on this date in 1986. No more USFL. Famous birthdays for this day include happy 72nd to John Riggins. He was a first-round pick, sixth overall in 1971 by the New York Jets. He ultimately went on to win the Comeback Player of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association in 1978. He was the MVP of Super Bowl XVIII as he capped his performance with a 43-yard touchdown on 4th-and-1, giving Washington a 20-17 lead in the fourth quarter of that game. Riggins would carry it 38 times for 166 yards, and that score in that contest, Charlie Brown, would lock it up with a late touchdown to give the final margin to Washington over Miami. Riggins, the very next year, was the Burt Bell Player of the Year Award winner when he went for over 1,300 rushing yards and scored 24 touchdowns on the ground and was a Hall of Fame inductee in 1992. And Happy 57 to a former Jaguar, although he didn't start out that way. Clyde Simmons was a ninth round pick in the 1986 NFL draft. That's right, kids. There used to be a lot more rounds in the draft. Two-time Pro Bowler. He played 32 games with the Jaguars in the 96 and 97 seasons with 27 starts, produced 16 sacks in that period of time. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn good, Tony. Eight and a half, seven and a half is what he had. He's 21st on the all-time list with 121 and a half. And I believe it was Simmons, and I'll probably get the exact quote wrong, but who told McManus, Tom McManus, when he ascended to the starting middle linebacker job, "You're the Mike. You'll be the mic." Mm-hmm. In other words, it's yours. Own it. Go take it. Own it, Tony. Hashtag own it. They didn't have hashtags back then. However, Clyde Simmons, 57 years young today. So happy birthday there. That's what we have for you this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beach's Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
As we were leaving yesterday, the news came down that Indianapolis Colts All-Pro offensive guard Quentin Nelson has suffered the same injury as quarterback Carson Wentz. Will be having surgery on his foot that will keep him out for the next 5 to 12 weeks. The Minnesota Vikings have released second-year cornerback Jeff Gladney after he was indicted by a Texas grand jury yesterday on a charge of felony assault against the woman he was previously in a relationship with. Gladney was a first-round pick of the Vikings last year, played in all 16 games with 15 starts for Minnesota as a rookie. New York Giants wide receiver Kenny Golladay will be undergoing further testing to determine the extent of an injury he apparently suffered early in practice on Tuesday, before the fight, it seems like. Golladay walked off the field early in practice yesterday and could be seen grabbing at the back of his leg. The team is optimistic about the injury and don't believe it is anything serious. New York Jets guard Cameron Clark was injured during their practice yesterday and taken to a local hospital. The Jets have announced that Clark has a spinal cord contusion and was kept overnight for observation last night. The team also said that Clark is expected to make a full recovery. LA Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford is expected to miss a couple of days while after hitting his thumb against a teammate's helmet while throwing, as we mentioned yesterday. The x-rays came back negative, so Stafford should be back on the field pretty quickly. The New Orleans Saints and free agent linebacker Quan Alexander have agreed to terms on a one-year, $3 million deal, according to his agent Drew Rosenhaus. And Phillip Rivers told the Los Angeles Times yesterday that he isn't completely ruling out a return this year. Rivers, 39 years old, retired after his lone season with the Colts last year in 17 years in the league. Rivers said that he isn't ruling out a return, but it certainly didn't sound like any return was imminent, with him discussing coming back for a team in December or January if the fit was right for him.
All right, there you go. That's what's going on around the league. Man, I tell you, here's what's happening right now in Indianapolis. Carson Wentz with the ouchie. Oof. Quentin Nelson with the ouchie. And this has prompted one of the members of my dynasty leagues to put Jonathan Taylor on the trade block. Like, this is the time to go get him, people, right? Look, not when he plays the Jags, although he did, what do they say? He bust their head to the white meat.
To the white meat.
Is that what happened last year when he went for 250?
Bust their head to the white meat.
But all the rest of the time, run wild, young man. Just don't win games. You know, win my fantasy games for me. That's, it's a weird line we try to walk there.
Sure. Looking at Quentin Nelson, by the way, the same injury, that's just weird.
That is weird.
What they're
right?
dealing with up there. And you look at what he's done to this point, considering the conversation about Quentin Nelson going into the draft the year that he got taken, coming out of Notre Dame, that he's had 3 years, three Pro Bowls, three first-team All-Pros for Quentin Nelson. So certainly has lived up to that. You know, the Colts are drafting a Hall of Famer.
I think if you polled NFL people, they would vote him the number one offensive lineman in the league.
I think they would.
Right? Like, number one. Like, he doesn't play left tackle. I'm not saying he's absolutely the most valuable necessarily.
No.
Right? You might consider your left tackle more valuable, but in terms of just how he would grade out and how dominant he is.
Yeah.
So, you're talking about you lose that guy and your quarterback for an undetermined period of time. Right? It's the same. It is a weird thing. You're right. It's not that foot injury should not be contagious. So it's just very strange what's happening there with Indy. And keep in mind, the 1-15 Jaguars beat the Colts last year.
They did.
It was
That's
a
the
long
one.
Time. That's the one, right?
The one.
It was almost a year ago, about 11 months ago. But nevertheless, right now, the AFC South looks like you know, if you want to sneak right in behind Tennessee, like, hey, don't mind us. Don't yeah. look, don't even, hey, no, we're rookie quarterback. Don't even think about us.
Yeah. Right?
Don't even think about it. Rookie coach, rookie quarterback, don't mind us. What are we doing here in second place right now and coming on strong? I don't know. You know, let's get crazy with it, right? It's August, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I don't expect the Jaguars to win the AFC South, but I guarantee you that they think they've got a puncher's chance as they sit back there in closed-door meetings going, oh, see what's going on with Indianapolis? Is Tennessee's defense still going to be susceptible? I mean, Tennessee's offense should be hell on wheels this year, really.
No doubt, yeah.
But, okay, you know, it's the NFL, big boy pants, man.
Yeah.
Go out and get them.
It'll be interesting to see if Tennessee answered any questions about that pass rush. It's a big question. And Indianapolis.
And a secondary, too.
Yeah, Indianapolis dealing with the two guys we've talked about being out. Their center, Ryan Kelly's out, too.
Correct.
You know, like, that's a lot that they're having to juggle right now early on in camp. And they know that two of those guys just aren't going to be available through the preseason. But, whew, that's a lot to deal with for a team that just 2 weeks ago was being talked about as the primary competition, with a lot of people probably picking the Colts if they had made their picks 2 weeks ago to win the South. And I'm not sure that anybody feels that way today.
Not at the moment, but things can change in a hurry as well. And I mean, maybe they both return on the short end of that timetable, you know, but again, Colts early season schedule. Let's see if I can bring it up here real quick. Very, very challenging, as you'd expect. It's the National Football League, but nevertheless, I thought particularly just going through the games the other day here, what do we have here for the Colts? They've got the Seahawks in week one. They're at home against the Seahawks. You know, the Seahawks are a perennial 10-win contender.
Yeah.
They play the Rams also at home, but the Rams are loaded right now. They're on the road to Tennessee, key divisional game early, on the road to Miami, on the road at Baltimore. Those are the first five games right there. And then they get the Texans, you know, but then they're on the road to the 49ers. You know, these are all not easy games. I'm not saying the Jags schedule is just cupcake city and they're just going to pile up a 7-2 start, but Indy could get really, let's hope, buried early.
Well, and they play Tennessee. Both their matchups against Tennessee are in the first 8 weeks. So if the Nelson and Wentz injuries are on the long end of their return, they would likely miss both of those games in the division, which, whew.
Well, bad for them. Either way, it's not, you know, for the Jags, you're like, who do you root for there? You know what I mean? Like, tie and a wave of COVID. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding mostly about the wave of COVID. But if it had to happen to some teams, would you put those two at the top? I mean, like, it doesn't have to happen, but if it did, just kidding. Just kidding, people. Hope everyone's nice and healthy and we just beat them fair and square, right? That's the way we all want it.
No.
Right? Just beat them.
Just win.
Beat them number one.
Yeah.
Beat them full strength number
two.
That'd
be fun. Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. Hayes Carline one-on-one with the offensive coordinator of the Jaguars, Daryl Bevel. Also, some thoughts from Marvin Jones and Damian Wilson on the way back. And we'll roll on. Jaguars today here on an eventful morning. All kinds of goodies coming out from training camp practice today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET, Jaguars today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Urban Meyer, in my opinion, sending a direct message to CJ Henderson today, who has not practiced. He's been on the COVID list. Urban Meyer put a bright spotlight on CJ Henderson. I took a picture of it. You can see it on Twitter. CJ Henderson on an exercise bike 20 feet in front of the team as they go through stretching and running drills. A clear, clear spotlight on CJ Henderson. And I think a direct message from Urban Meyer.
Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right. I just retweeted that photo from Hayes Carline. Winners and losers day. That is so Urban Meyer. And look, you know, you wondered, you know, I heard Dan and Jeff talking about Bloody Tuesday. I think it was yesterday on the program. You can't, there's a players association here, right? You cannot just make this gladiatorial combat as much as Urban might like you to, you know, all right, two men enter, one man leave. It ain't like that in the National Football League, but he's trying to set up those situations where there's a clear winner and loser on reps, and he is the one deciding who's the winner, and then over the PA, they're announcing who that is. So,
sure, yeah.
CJ Henderson, not a winner so far today. Hey, look, I hope CJ gets on the field tomorrow, and I hope he plays all-pro football this year. You know, I have nothing against CJ. I want all these guys – to play their best so the Jaguars can perform their best. But right now, he's just not able to show anything because he hasn't been able to get on the field. He's back out at practice, coming out of the COVID protocols, but not participating in practice. So we'll see where that goes. Let's get to a few players who spoke yesterday, Tony. Let's start with Damian Wilson here. Interesting. And he's a guy the Jags picked up this offseason and, you know, kind of a little bit under the radar. And that prompted today's question of the day to give us an under-the-radar player that you think will have a significant role for the team this year. He comes in listed at 6'2", 245, felt to be a better, more physical interior option than Joe Schobert, perhaps. And, you know, I've seen some speculation that they may be competing for the starting job even. And Urban Meyer's talked about using multiple linebackers. But here was Damian Wilson yesterday talking about where he thinks he fits in this defensive scheme.
To be honest, this game is really similar to the one that I had over in Kansas City for the last 2 years. So I'm awfully familiar with it, changing verbiage and terminology and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, football is football. And it's a real linebacker-friendly defense. So we're just running and hitting out there.
Demetrius Harvey tweeting out a minute ago, linebacker Damian Wilson with a nice hit and run stop against ETN in team drill. So he's making plays as we're talking about him right now. Damian Wilson was also asked about why he's excited about this defense going into the year.
I'll say first personnel, man. We got some big, strong guys up front that keep us clean. Miles will tell you that. Joe, he'll tell you that. All the rest of the guys, they'll tell you that. So those guys, to start, you know, they keep us clean. They do their jobs, and they real damn good at it too. But secondly, it's just the scheme itself. A lot of times we either have a three tech or something to protect us, so it's hard for the linemen to get up to us.
All right, well, one more here from Damian Wilson, who, you know, everybody feels good about their team, I think, in training camp. But nevertheless, I like this kind of talk, says they have the talent and the coaching to be a contender.
We got the talent. I believe we got the coaching. We just got to get some experience, you know. We got to, and that comes from live bullets. So maybe we can get some of that during the preseason. Maybe it take the first game, but I do believe that we really can cause some damage. And like I said, our goal is the championship, and anything short of that is just a failure.
Looking that way, and he did throughout his session yesterday. Just, you know, the goal isn't to win week one. The goal isn't to win the division. Even like he just kept talking about championships. Here in Jacksonville, Marvin Jones Jr. also met with the media, and he was asked about his quarterback. I know you're shocked he would be asked about Trevor Lawrence, but he was asked about Trevor and just how comfortable it looks like he is out there right now.
I think he's getting more and more comfortable. Obviously, you know, he's a rookie, and as you get those reps, you know, you get more and more comfortable. And, you know, just the playmaking ability, he's had it from the start. So I'd say him being more comfortable, him getting reps, you know, obviously you're going to get a ton of reps in camp, and it's been good so far.
All right, more from Marvin Jones Jr. here. We'll hear from his OC coming up here momentarily. Was asked about the workout. Trevor Lawrence brought the key top guys on the depth chart up to Clemson University for a couple of days to use the facilities. Of course, Clemson welcomed them with open arms and repainted those hash marks for him to make sure that they had the right lines of demarcation. They did. And so here's Marvin Jones Jr. about those workout days up in Clemson.
It does happen often, you know, especially with him, you know, somebody of, you know, his stature and his ability. You know, it's important. It's important to get, you know, get things going, you know, and OTAs, you know, you get a little bit, but it's not enough to really come into camp and play a game 3 weeks later. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely important, you know, that he did that and, you know, stepping up and, you know, taking that leadership role and doing that. So maybe, I don't know, all my quarterbacks have done it, and it's no different here, and it was good that he did that, definitely. He showed us a good time.
One more here on Trevor Lawrence from Marvin Jones Jr. as he says with a smile that Trevor seems to enjoy making aggressive throws.
It does happen often, you know, especially with him, you know, somebody of, you know, his stature and his ability, you know, it's important. It's important to get, you know, get things going, you know, and OTAs, you know, you get a little bit, but it's not enough to really come into camp and play a game 3 weeks later. It does happen often, you know, especially with him.
Is my mic on now? Thank you. That's the same one. Cut three. if we got it. Trevor on making aggressive throws.
It does happen often.
No, nope, you know, we don't have
with
it.
Him, that's you know, it does happen.
All right, whatever. I can't hear that again. Just can't hear it again. Done with it. Marvin, I'm sure you said wonderful things.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to have to assume you said wonderful things.
Yeah.
Do we have Hayes Carline with Daryl Bevel? We do have that. All right, Hayes, after practice yesterday, catching up with the Jaguars' new offensive coordinator.
We're pleased to be joined with Jaguars offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel here on 1010XL. First off, Daryl, thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us. Fun day out here for staying pads?
Yeah, I mean, every time you get to get out here and play real football, you know, it's a fun day.
Trevor made some unbelievable throws today, the one to Marvin Jones. What stood out about his day to you and just the performance that he's had for you so far in camp?
Yeah, you know, I think really for the whole offense, it's a growing experience. You know, we're learning each other. We're still learning the system, learning the plays, learning how everybody reacts out here to different situations. So, you know, there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some ups and downs, good plays, bad plays, and we'll just continue to go in and correct and work.
How well does Trevor take what you're teaching him in the classroom and execute it out on the field?
Yeah, he's really done a great job with that. He's had a tendency to not make the same mistake twice, which is good. He's a quick learner that way. So, so far, so good.
And it seems like he's got a good rapport with all the receivers.
Yeah, he's a mature guy. You know, he's been kind of the face of college football for a long time, so I don't think this is really too big for him. He's had some of those veteran guys, you know, and worked out with him in the offseason. So he's doing a great job communicating with those guys.
And what is he like in terms of command on the field? Is he where you want in terms of getting the signal out and everybody on the same page?
Not there yet. You know, it's a work in progress. There's a lot of information. You know, a lot of these guys in college haven't had the plays coming in the way that they come in now. You know, so they got to hear them in their helmet, and they got to be able to make the call in the huddle. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that are moving quickly as well. So we'll continue to work at that.
Daryl, these running backs are a lot of fun to watch. James Robinson, Travis Etienne, and Carlos Hyde look good. How do you assess that group for you?
Yeah, I mean, we're really happy with that group in terms of, you know, we have playmakers, all different kinds. We got strong runners. You know, Carlos is a you know, has been a stud in this league for a long time. So really excited about that group.
And at receiver, who's standing out for you?
Well, I mean, there's a few guys. You know, Marvin's done a nice job. LaVisca's done a great job. DJ's starting to come on. So, you know, the group looks good.
Marvin's route running really looks to be on a different level. How would you describe him as a route runner?
You know, Marv probably got a little bit of advantage on these guys, you know, because he's been in the system, so he knows a little bit more of the nuances. Plus, he's been in the league, I think it's his 10th year, you know, so this stuff's not new to him, but he does a great job running routes. I think he can speak to the quarterback well, you know, so he's a pretty cagey vet.
Obviously, just first day in pads, but you guys made a conscious effort to keep that starting five offensive line together. What have you seen out of that group?
Yeah, I mean, that's a group that's, as you said, has been there together for a while. So got to see them continue to grow as one. Communication has to be sound. Got to do a great job in protection. And, you know, so far, so good. I mean, first day in pads, let me go in and check the tape and see how it went.
Walker Little looks impressive. What do you see out of the rookie?
Yeah, he's done a great job. First of all, smart guy, been able to pick up the system. But once you get the pads on, the game changes, you know. And so, again, I'll go in and look and see how it went today. And you know, he'll continue to grow and get better.
Urban said something really interesting about Tebow's development on Saturday. He said he's still fighting to bring the ball too close to his body and team. He doesn't do it so much in individual drills. What's the challenge there as a coach to get him to fight through that?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to continue work at it. Again, the things that he's been doing is the first time he's ever done it, you know, and I think it's a credit to him, his work ethic, the things that he's done to even put him in a position to be able to do what he's doing right now. I mean, he's blending in with, you know, tight ends in the NFL when he's never done it. So we'll continue to work on all those little nuanced things that he needs to and see how far he can come by the end.
The retention, how have you been pleased with that, not pleased with it, in terms of what they did over the break and getting out here now that you guys are 5-6 workouts in?
Yeah, I would say it was good, and then I think today we kind of took maybe a little bit of a step back. This was the 6th install. You know, we'll have 7 going in tonight. So first 5 were pretty good, and I think this one got them a little bit.
So what do you do in that in terms of, do you just go forward or do you have to work back a little bit? How do you make up for that as a coach?
Well, we have to focus on the things that we didn't do well. We got to go get those corrected. We got to understand why and really continue to learn the concepts, you know, rather than like, how do I line up? Oh, it's this concept. This is what I do. So going to continue to work at that.
It seems like a real coachable group. Is that what you're finding out? Not a lot of resistance. It seems on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I would say there's been a lot of buy-in, yes.
Daryl Bevel. Thanks so much for your time, and certainly best of luck as camp progresses.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there you go, Hayes, catching up with the Jags OC after practice yesterday. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about practice today. But so far, you know, the fact that they're doing these one-on-one competitions and the fact that C.J. Henderson has been put in a spotlight, so to speak, on the sideline seem to be the prevailing stories of the day to this point in time, as the Jags should be in team practice period right now. So we'll probably get some reports coming out in the next few minutes about how what kind of throws Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew are making. We'll take a break here. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll discuss the question of the day, including your responses to it, looking for an under-the-radar player that you think will have a significant role for the Jaguars in 2021. With Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I now think Philip Dorsett makes the 53, and while I don't think he's going to catch a ton of passes, so I'll say Philip Dorsett has a sneaky, you know, maybe 400-yard season.
I think Damian Wilson. I really do. The Jaguars, you know, they seem to love what he brings to the table in terms of toughness and leadership and really being a downhill linebacker. I mean, when you look at their three veteran linebackers, he's the only one who could really describe as kind of a downhill, you know, physical thumper.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, there you go. Hayes Carlin and John Shipley joined us in hour number one live from the practice field to weigh in on various Jaguar topics. Here are a few tweets from John Shipley of Jaguar Report in the last few minutes. Cam Robinson, Josh Allen, and Juwan Taylor and Dewan Smoot. You got to be careful there. Juwan Smoot and Dewan Taylor.
Yes.
No, Juwan Taylor and Dewan Smoot all split wins in one-on-one. So it was Cam going against Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Smoot and Taylor going head-to-head, and they split their reps. And Shipley said that the O-line, D-line was pretty even today. Walker Little goes 3-1-1 against Chaisson with two dominant reps in there, and he follows up with a good Lord Walker Little tweet and says this is a good thing. So continuing to have a solid day out there.
Yeah, the legend is not diminishing.
No. Apparently Tebow had some good wins in there as well, in his one-on-one reps. Maybe we'll get a full rundown, you know, from somebody out there who's
sure
charting them.
I saw Demetrius tweeted out a minute ago that red zone touchdown toss for Trevor Lawrence to DJ Chark had a nice step on the defender, so they're
like
doing a little bit of team right now as well, as they should be wrapping up practice here in the next 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, you know, hopefully we'll continue to hear those positives. I have not heard that Trevor Lawrence threw one to the defense today, so that's nice.
No.
You know, not to – look, again, he's going to make some mistakes, but I'd like some interception-free practices to start stacking up for him nevertheless.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious, too. We talked about Walker Little and him not having played in 2 years, right? Like, that was a big part of the conversation right after they had drafted him, and what would it look like for him? We'll find out when the pads go on. Well, they've been on for a couple days, and we'll see how he, you know, reacts to a day off tomorrow when they get back at it on Friday. But through the first couple days in pads, it looks, it at least sounds like reportedly Walker Little looks like what they expected Walker Little to look like.
Yeah, here's Hayes Carline 2 minutes ago. Walker Little, and this is following up on, you know, we saw Shipley say 3-1-1 in those reps versus Chaisson. And this is Urban Meyer's declaring who the winners are on this. So it's not speculative. It's in the hands of the head coach. Hayes said Walker Little might be really, really good. He's dominating Chaisson in one-on-ones. I'm ready to see Little versus Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see how it all plays out. But,
yeah,
you know, continued good tidings on the Walker Little front right now. So said when they drafted him, Tony, I was going to take a wait-and-see approach on that with a guy who had not played much football in the last couple years. Well, to this point, you're seeing good things.
Yeah.
Right? But, again, it's early days of training camp. Not going to anoint him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame quite yet.
And he'll be, when we talk about it a week from, you know, the next couple of days, we're getting ready for preseason week one. Walker Little will be at or near the top of the list of guys that you're looking forward to seeing once we get into real preseason football out there on the field with whatever limited action Trevor Lawrence may get.
I'm looking forward to seeing him Sunday in the scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, Friday and Saturday out there at practice, but in more of a game type setting. Make sure you pre-register for those tickets, by the way. Don't just be showing up and thinking you're going to get in. All right, let's go around the horn here on 1010 Take.
10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center. You're cared for by a team of experts working together on a treatment plan that's just for you.
All right, today's question of the day asked you to name an under-the-radar player that you think will end up with a big role for the Jaguars in 2021. I went first on Monday. Tony went first yesterday. E.T.
Yeah.
Batting leadoff today. Come on, Ricky Henderson.
I think it's going to have to be my man, Rayshon Jenkins.
Okay.
Because just what it is, he's under the radar. He was a splash signing, you know, in the secondary. He's, you know, the last line of defense, and I think he's going to play a big role.
I think it's interesting, you know, because like Dilla responded with Walker Little. I don't feel like Walker Little's under the radar, right?
Not right but now, no.
It does almost feel like Rayshon is a little bit, and he is in the starting lineup, right? Like he's running as your starting strong safety out there. Walker Little's getting second team reps, but it does feel like there hasn't been a whole lot of focus on Rayshon Jenkins. I did read, and we always try to credit who puts it out there because we're not out at practice, and I can't remember at the moment that Andre Sisco was getting some first-team reps opposite Rayshon Jenkins already. So that's a tremendous sign for a guy who tore his ACL in the middle of the college football season last year, which is the reason you were able to get him at the top of the third round. So exciting times there. I already gave you Damian Wilson as my guy here, and I think the Jags are putting you on notice by putting him out there in a press conference role. This is not, you know, old training camp, Tony. It used to be just grab whoever you like coming in off the field, right? I mean, literally, you'd grab them, and hey, you got a minute, and well, yeah, can we walk in the shade? Sure. And then you just talk to whoever. Well, with COVID, you can still request a guy, but generally what they're doing is they're giving you an assistant coach or the head coach. I think Urban's speaking today, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken. An offensive and a defensive guy up there. And, you know, you're not going to pick the 87th guy on the roster in this scenario. Damian Wilson's a guy who has clearly, based on the way they're utilizing him in different positions, shown versatility, is a physical player. He's played, as you heard him say himself today on the program, as he spoke after practice yesterday, in a very similar scheme. Terminology is different. The execution is very similar to what he had in Kansas City. So I think Damian Wilson could surprise you with the amount of snaps he actually ends up playing this year, and that's who I'm going with. So who is your choice?
I like the Wilson choice a lot. I'll go with Devon Hamilton, and it's just a name that we haven't talked about really at all. Since they traded for Malcolm Brown, it's been kind of a back burner name with Devon Hamilton. You go back and look at Malcolm Brown and what he is. He's a space heater. He's a run stuffer. That's what he is. That's what he's been brought here to do. And if you look at his career, he's going into year number 7 in the league. He hasn't played more than 57% of the snaps in a season on defense for anybody, and that was back in his second year in the league when he was still 22 years old with New England. The last couple of years, look, odds are Malcolm Brown's going to play about 40% of the snaps for the Jags on defense. That's what it's going to wind up being. So where do the rest of the snaps go along that defensive line? And I think a lot of them go to Devon Hamilton, who I think can give you a little bit as a pass rusher, certainly more than I think Malcolm Brown gives you as a pass rusher. I think Brown's the more stout run defender at this point in their careers, but I think Devon Hamilton will wind up playing something like 35% of the snaps on defense for the Jaguars this year, and he'll be the kind of rotational nose tackle, and I think he does give them a little bit more, can play when they go into their sub-packages when they want to rush the passer. I think Hamilton can do a little bit of that too.
All right, here are some of the responses we got today to this question. I'll read some of the comments that we have time for here, starting with Samuel. Says, I'm going to have to say Colin Johnson came up in big moments at the end of the season last year. Size and speed is unmatched, and with a quarterback like Lawrence being able to place the ball high, he can be a problem in the red zone. Well, the speed's not unmatched, but maybe the combination could be. But he is so far having a pretty quiet camp from what we can tell. But, you know, you don't know what the coach's evaluation of the tape has shown you after practice every day so far. Scott said, Tyler Shatley for me. Injuries among the offensive line, not uncommon. He's shown to be a capable backup. Marcos asked, could Miles Jack be under the radar? No, he could not. So I'm going to move on from that one. I mean,
no.
Look, he even made who's doing the rankings of the various top tens at the positions? He made somebody's ranking just in the last week as the number 9, maybe it was inside linebacker in the National Football League.
Yeah,
but even that is is more recognition than he's gotten in recent times from anyone outside of Jacksonville. Miles Jack is, you know, he's the best defensive player on the team last year. I do not think he is an under-the-radar player. If he is, then everybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody over the radar. Let's see. This one, Trey Herndon, re-signed by new staff for a reason. Think he has just as much opportunity as Henderson to take that next step in this revamped secondary and defense. Let's see. Johnson Smoot was arguably the best D lineman on the team last season. I expect more out of him. This one says, Jay Tefele, motor always running on high, size and strength is there, should be a great contributor for the Jags this year. Here's the thing is, you realize there are a lot of under-the-radar people on this roster.
Yeah.
That's what you get with a 1-15 team, right? Philip Dorsett for Cristiano. Luke Farrell said, Rodney, I think he could be the tight end, surprises everyone, just a hunch. Another one for Tefele. Rayshon Jenkins could be a ball hawk for the defense this year. Jahad Ward, if Chaisson struggles, I think you can see a significantly expanded role for him. That's from Paul. O'Greezy, a couple of guys who may not even make the roster, so I'll list them both. Aaron Patrick and Quincy Williams, just a wild guess, rooting for the underdog. Another one for Tefele. Luke Farrell gets another vote. Malcolm Brown, I mean, I don't know if Malcolm Brown's really under the radar, but so I'm gonna say no on that one. Laquon Treadwell or Tefele. Big Show Joe, come on now. You can't be
a starting middle linebacker.
He's starting middle linebacker making like $10 plus million a year.
Yeah.
Not under the radar, in my opinion. Ben Ellefson, Jordan Smith, now that's under the radar. Dakota Allen, that is under the radar there for you. Several votes for Tim Tebow. I guess, even though he is a big lightning rod for attention, he's a little bit under the radar in terms of, you know, where he fits in, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I guess you could go that way if you want to. Big Will agreed with me on Damian Wilson, said it was a late addition, but his role is very important in the 3-4 hybrid scheme. I don't think his stats will pop, but he'll be important in allowing Miles Jack to play outside and help Joe manage the middle. That's interesting. Now, we think Miles Jack has the ability to do a lot of things, you know, including rush the passer a little bit. Could he get some of those opportunities playing on the outside in the 3-4 with Wilson and Schobert in the middle if Chaisson or someone else doesn't step up opposite Josh Allen? I'm not expecting that to be like a full-time kind of scenario, but nevertheless, that's an interesting take on it. Cisco, Tim Tebow, no snark, I promise, said Professor Floyd. I got to believe that one was snark, or who's the person who said Jake Luton. Tyson Campbell, he will start at corner, says Bob. Roy Robertson-Harris, pretty big free agent signing.
Yeah.
I mean, all the defensive linemen are a little bit anonymous, especially when you play in a 3-4. Shaq Quarterman, if Joe struggles with the 3-4, be on the lookout for Jahad Ward, Hamilton, Taven Bryant. Never mind. Oh, that's cold right there on Taven, man. I'm hoping it's Colin Johnson. Another one for Tefele. Let's see. Anything else? O'Shaughnessy. I don't know. O'Shaughnessy's only under the radar because he hasn't practiced to this point.
Yeah.
I think most people.
He's expected to be the starting tight end.
Expected to be the most prolific receiver
among
the tight ends, at least this season, I would say. So, interesting bevy of selections that you got right there. So, maybe we'll throw this one at Leon Searcy as we welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the sports world spinning with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Big Surf in the house. Hello, Leon. How
What's
are you?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, we're going to spring the question of the day on you here. Today we asked, give us a player that you feel is under the radar a little bit right now that will make a significant contribution to the Jaguars in 2021.
Under the radar?
Under the radar guy.
Well, I can tell you a guy that looked pretty good today.
Okay.
McCray.
Okay.
McCray? He looked pretty good today.
Coming off the edge?
Coming off the edge in the one-on-one drills against the O-lineman. He kind of dominated.
Did he get
his
share of wins today?
He did. He
in Winners Losers Day out there?
Yeah, he did. I don't know where they're going to play. Are they going to play him an in or outside linebacker? I'm not sure. Maybe in.
Okay.
But today he was going up against He went up against Cam Robertson. He went up against Walker Little and held his own.
All right. Who did stand out in the one-on-one battles today? I mean, that seemed like a fun practice to attend because Urban Meyer was picking winners, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, he was picking winners not on the – not yeah, he was picking – I think it was more special team stuff. And maybe I wasn't paying attention because I was down there with the O-line, D-line.
Okay.
But I heard them saying Tebow winner.
Or right, yeah. That's
guy
what,
winner.
So okay,
I
so
thought
he,
initially it was just special teams.
No, I think it was just they were doing like Tebow's going up against man hurts and blocking drills and things like that. Okay, so it's just kind of like trying to set up some mano-a-mano type competition and to have a way to determine instead of, you know, usually you get out there, you get an Oklahoma drill, and it's like, the defense cheers for their guy.
True,
the offense cheers
true.
For their guy, and they try to cheer the loudest. Here, the coach was just saying, "Winner this guy," and he's trying to put a little stress on these guys.
Yeah,
which
and,
is nice.
And towards the end, I heard where he gave the defense a certain amount of points and the offense a certain amount of points. I guess
okay.
that was towards the end of it. So, yeah, this is like
who had the most?
Whoever the most. I think I heard offense.
Offense most
one time and defense another time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Like, there was no overall who had the...
No, there was no overall.
All right, you'd go with offense
I think it was
anyway,
determined by
you.
Drill by drill.
I got you. All right,
yeah.
What do you guys have coming up on the program today?
Oh, well, you know, I was out there today, so we're going to talk a little Jags. And at 12:40, my man Killer Bees was actually in town Saturday.
Was he now?
Yeah, he was in town Saturday to watch the practice.
So E.T., you race him? Did you race Beasley?
No, he ain't even hit me up because you know I've been on those Madden sticks.
He wants to race him or play him in
Beasley?
Madden. He wants to race
you know,
everybody.
This is what I understand about young folks. All right, they always want to challenge you when you get old.
You can get that smoke too.
You ain't wasn't another killer when he was your age though.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's do ET versus Leon reps of 225.
Reps of 220, where I would.
Hennessy, on the bench.
Hennessy pickup?
Not Hennessy.
Did he say Hennessy? I haven't drank that since I left Jacksonville. Rightfully so.
You lost.
There you go. All right, sir. So we'll be listening. Have a
all
good
right,
show today, buddy.
You got it.
There you go. I can't wait to get back out there, man. We got I'm losing my mind. A day off tomorrow, mm-hmm. then back on the field Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for open to the public practices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and tune in, stay tuned to XL Primetime for all the latest on the practice field today. And then, of course, the Frangie show to follow. Let me see what we got here. No, don't have it right in front of me. I think it's Urban speaking after practice today. Maybe here it is. Let's see what we got here. Yes, Urban Meyer, LaVisca Chenault, and DeJuan Smoot will be speaking after practice today. So we'll hear from those guys throughout the course of the afternoon on 1010XL and, of course, on Jaguars Today tomorrow when Tommy Mack comes back with his thoughts on what he's been hearing about training camp as well. All right, any final thoughts out of you today, Tony Smith?
Trevor Lawrence with his second touchdown to DJ Chark, it would appear, in 11-on-11. Carlos Hyde with a rushing touchdown in 11-on-11. Apparently, Gardner Minshew led a touchdown drive in red zone, but it was all runs, including him keeping it once.
Nice job handing it off, Gardner.
And then Jake Luton threw a pick in his series of 11-on-11.
Oh, no. Maybe he's not going to make as big a contribution as that one tweeter thought today. So, hey, it's fun to follow along with. Again, main thing, have some progress. Nobody key gets injured. And, look, I don't want anybody to get injured, but certainly nobody in the core.
No.
Core 45 or so. And it looks like that's going to be the case today. So we move on to the next day of Jaguar training camp. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Hayes Carline and John Shipley for both joining us live from practice this morning. Glad we could bring you some of the comments of Daryl Bevel, Marvin Jones, and Damian Wilson as well. Plenty more to do tomorrow, but keep it here for XL Primetime. Coming up next for Tony Smith, ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Tomorrow, we join you again from 10 to noon on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, I suggest
y'all have a great night.